Praise God. Good morning. What I like to do is open in prayer, but I like to sing it, okay? So, Lord, let darkness be shattered by light, and let joy spring after the night. We want to see you again. Lord, let tragic and hopeless days turn to stories of amazing grace. We want to see it again. So come, Lord, like a rushing wind. We are desperate for your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. We want to see you again. See you again. Lord, let laughter conquer our tears, and let strength rise to persevere. We want to see it again. Lord, let tragic and hopeless days turn to stories of amazing grace. We want to see it again. So come, Lord, like a rushing wind. We are desperate for your presence. Revive us by your spirit within. We want to see you again. See you again. Praise God. Praise God. Before we get started, I'd like to thank Pastor Todd for giving me this opportunity. I'm going to ask Mike Lee to come up for a minute. He has no idea what I'm doing. I want to ask him a question. And today, I'm going to need some involvement from you guys. And like Pastor Rob says, if I get a little involvement from you guys, we won't be here until tomorrow or until after Christmas. Okay. Mike, here's my question to you. You know, Mike and I, I coached with Dusty and Irvin White on an AAU team. And then Mike and I coached our sons for about 7 years, didn't we, Mike? Greg and Terrence started when they were 8. And some of the other kids, Terrence, Julian, and Greg were 8, and the rest of the kids were 9. But we coached them for like 7 years, right? And I know the first year, we won 28 games and lost 3. I mean, we didn't lose many games. In a season, we didn't lose more than 4 or 5 games, right? And we played 30, 40 games. But the first year when they were 8 and 9, we played 31 games. We won 28, right? Went to the state tournament every year, okay? And so during those games, though, Mike and I were coaching. And sometimes the kids would get tired, and we would call a timeout, giving them a break. Sometimes we'd call a timeout and make some corrections. Sometimes we call a timeout and challenge them. Sometimes we call a timeout just to encourage them. Right, Mike? And we would always, before we got ready to go back on the floor, we would put our hands in. And you remember the question I would ask them? Okay. I would say, put your hand in there. What time is it?
I can't remember what we said.
What time is it?
Winning time.
What time is it?
Winning time.
What time is it?
Winning time.
All right. Greg couldn't be here, so Mike forgot. It's winning time. It's winning time. What time is it, Glenn? What time is it, Pastor Todd? What time is it, front row? What time is it, church?
Time.
Oh, you got to say it like you're going to go out there and kill the other team. What time is it?
Time.
And then I'd say, all right, let's go get them. All right? It's winning time. We've been talking about, I asked Pastor Todd, can I share? Wanda and Pastor Todd ministered last week, and Wanda ministered on prayer, like she does on the first Sunday of the month. And, you know, she's been sharing some from Ephesians, the third chapter, right, Wanda? Right. One in the third chapter kind of says some similar things. And this is what it says. This is Paul talking, and he says, I pray, I bow my knee for you to the God of glory, and pray that you be strengthened in the inner man with all might. God's might. I pray that Christ would dwell in you by faith, and that you would be flooded with all the love and compassion of God. That you would be flooded with the fullness of God. And not only that, he says that you would be flooded with the wisdom, the multifaceted wisdom of God, that every man would see it and know. And not only every man, but every angelic host would see it. Because they're looking to find out God's multifaceted wisdom. Because they don't know about salvation. They are only found out about salvation through us. And they're getting the wow factor of God when they see it. They should. And men should too. Amen? That's the way it should be. So, let me tell you a word. Well, I'm gonna give you a tease first, okay? Remember this word. Lions of the last day. Lions of the last day. The title of my message here is, if you want to put a title on it, it's called Supernatural People. Lions of the last day. Now, here's another word for you. Inconspicuous. Anybody know what that means? Inconspicuous means not prominent, not readily noticeable. Matter of fact, that's where the church has been. Not prominent means not in the forefront, not bold, not readily noticeable. Another synonym for that is virtually invisible. That's to the community at large. Because if they weren't, we wouldn't let politicians take the lead. We wouldn't let the news agencies take the lead. We wouldn't let Hollywood take the lead. We wouldn't let athletes take the lead. The church would have the lead. The church has been inconspicuously absent and inconspicuously silent. And that's my intro. Because what happens is, if there's a vacuum, it has to be filled by something or someone. We have had church leader after church leader to pass away. E.V. Hill, R.W. Shambach, T.L. Osborne, Jim Zirkle, Kenneth Hagin, Buddy Harrison, you name it. There's been a vacuum, and we needed to fill that. Why have we been praying? We've been praying to fill that void. That's why we've been praying, to fill that void. I want to share, there's a man named René Descartes. He's a French philosopher. And this is what one of the sayings that he has. Cogito ergo sum. Anybody know what that means? I think, therefore I am. I think, whatever I think, that's what I am. Whatever I don't think, that's what I'm not. In scripture, it's in Proverbs. So if Stern, you can just put those scriptures back, and they can just on behind me, and they can just read them when they get a chance. Because I'll probably paraphrase most of this. Proverbs 23:7 says the same thing. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart or believes in his heart, so is he. In other words, as a man has faith in something, whatever he believes is what he's having faith in. That's what he is. That's what he receives. And that's where he walks. Okay, I want to tell you about a day back in history. And it's about Israel. And it can be found in Joshua, the fourth chapter. Well, it's in the book of Joshua. The children of Israel had left Egypt 40 years prior to this. And they had an opportunity several weeks in to go into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay? But before they went in, they sent 12 spies in, 12 men, a man from each tribe from Israel. And two of the men came back, Joshua and Caleb, with a good report. But the other 10 had a bad report. And they discouraged the people. They made the people cry. They made the people want to go back to Egypt. Duh. And so God says, they will not enter in. Okay? So they wandered around the desert for 40 years until all of those unbelieving adults died off. Now, here were their children. They were on the edge of the Jordan, and it looked like at this particular time, God says, all of those old people, all of those people that didn't believe, they're gone. Now, here is the opportunity. It's a brand new day. It is a brand new season and a brand new time, and they were going to get to go in. So Joshua went through the camp, and all of the leaders prepared the people, and they proceeded after the Ark of the Covenant to go across the Jordan. And before they crossed, God dried the river up, and they crossed on dry land. Okay? And God gave them instructions. He said, hey, when you cross over, I want you to take 12 stones from this side of the river and put them in the water. And I wanted to take you to take 12 stones that were in the riverbed, in the water, and put them on the other side where you're going. And he says, matter of fact, I want you to make a memorial with those stones. And when you do, when your children ask you in years to come what those stones mean, I want you to tell them that I dried the water up and let you go across on dry ground. Not only that, the children would say, Mommy, Daddy, what did these stones mean? Those stones were different stones than the stones that went. The stones that came out of the water were not the same stones that went in. They were totally different. Those stones on the other side were supernatural stones. The people that went in the water were not the same people that came out of the water. The people that came out of the water were supernatural people with supernatural ability, serving a supernatural God, worshiping a supernatural God, full of supernatural life, God's life. He tried for years to get them to believe it. In years to come, when your children ask you what these stones mean, what will you tell them? The people that came out on the other side were supernatural people. The first thing that they incurred was Jericho, remember? Did they fight? No. They listened to instructions from God, from Jesus himself. He gave Joshua instructions. But it's the same as listening to the instructions of the Holy Ghost. And all they did was walk around the wall like God said and shouted, and the wall came down. They conquered. One of the biggest, powerfulest, that this Jericho, they had chariot races around the wall. That's how thick it was. It was 20 or 30 feet wide. It was 30 feet tall, and they raced chariots around this wall. That's how thick the wall was. It fell flat on the ground, except for Rahab's house. The dread of those people were on everybody on the Jericho side of the Jordan. And you know what? The dread of the church should be on the whole nation or the whole world. People don't fear the church. People don't fear. They say, well, where is your God? He hasn't shown up yet. They didn't say that. Let me tell you about an incident. I'm going to tell you about an incident. Happened a few years back. Pastor Rob will remember it. He called Gary Hash, now Pastor Gary, and said, hey, I got a call. There was a woman in Huntington, West Virginia, and she called and wanted to know, could she have some help? And I think she called either ICFM or she called Kenneth Copeland Ministries or Jerry Savelle Ministries. I think it was ICFM, and said Pastor Rob was in this area and was over this area, and would he give us some help? So he called Gary and said, hey, Gary, would you go and check out this church, see what problems she has, and, you know, minister and, you know, bring me back a report. So Gary asked Pastor Rob, could I go with him? So Pastor Rob said yes. So it's in Huntington, West Virginia. We drove up there on like a Saturday evening. And we, you know, this is before cell phones, like, you know, a year ago. I look back, I'm surprised that we even found the place. But anyway, so we find the pastor's house, right? And it's a lady, and we go in and we talk to her, and she says, hey, well, let me, you know, I'll take you by the church, and then we'll go out and get something to eat. So as we're riding in her car, she passes by the church, and we look up. She says, there's the church. Now, as I noticed, we were in Huntington, West Virginia. It was like 10 churches on every street. I was just like, what is up with this? It was like 2 churches on every block. And so I was like, wow. And so we look up. She says, there's a church, and it says Seventh-day Adventist. Gary looks at me. He goes, she said, you know, we share this building with the Seventh-day Adventist. They have the church on Saturday, and we have it on Sunday. Okay. So she says, well, let's go get something to eat. So Gary and I decided. Gary looks at me, and he says, no. So we decided that we were going to pray and fast that night. So we prayed and fasted. So the next day, that night, Gary called Colette and asked her, would she come? So she said, oh, yeah, she'd meet us there at the church. So we go to the church. They open the church service, and it's packed. It's full of people. And they began to sing and praise the Lord. And I'm standing here. Colette is standing there, and Gary is on the other side of Colette. And they began to sing and praise the Lord. And Colette leaned over to me and she says, oh, what do they need us for? I mean, the presence of God in there was so strong, you could cut it with a knife. It was awesome. I mean, I was like, what in the world? And so they sung like 2 songs and we were just in awe. I was like, wow. It's awesome. And so the pastor came up and she says, well, just before we have our speaker of the day, Ms. Reverend Hash, we're going to have the Holy Ghost choir to come up and sing, I don't know if it's 1 or 2 songs. So this lady came out the side. She gets on the piano and she begins to play. And when she begins to play, it was the opposite that happened in the sanctuary. It's like death came in. Colette looked at me. She said, what in the world happened? I said, I don't know what's going on. And so this lady began to play, and it was awful. I mean, it was just the opposite. And so, you know, of course, right after that, she says, and right now we're going to have Pastor Gary. We're going to have Reverend Gary Hash to come up. Colette says, oh, that usually happens. So Gary came up there, and Gary in his, you know, in his own way, Gary's preaching, and he's preaching his heart out, and boy, it's hard. You ever seen Gary preach and it's hard? Gary never preaches and it's hard. This was awful. I'm not saying Gary was awful. It was just hard plowing. I was going, what is going on? And Colette is looking at me. I was like, I don't know. And so Gary gets all to the end of his message, and he says, you know what we're going? Gary starts singing. He starts to praise the Lord, you know, like Gary. And then he says, You know what we're going to do? We're going to open the church for prayer. And if you need prayer, you come up here and we'll pray for you. And when he said that, the presence of God came in there like a thunderstorm. And it swept in there and people ran up to the altar. And we were so shocked. I was like, what in the world? And so it was so many people that Gary says, Reggie, would you come up here and help me? And I got up there and he says, we'll start in the middle. I'll pray around this side and ask people and we pray for people. Because before I was going up and he was praying for people, they were falling out. I was catching them. But he says, it's going to take too long because just people just kept coming. So he says, you just go on that side, I'll go on this side. So I start in the middle and I go around and I get to the last two people over here. And it's the lady who was playing the piano and her best friend. And I get within about 3-4 feet of her. She starts shrieking and screaming. Ah! Get away from me! Don't touch me! Don't touch me! Don't touch me! Please don't touch me! And I'm doing this. I was looking behind me because whoever she didn't want to touch her, I didn't want him to touch me either. The lady was shaking in fear and she kept screaming and her friend was screaming. I said, well, I just like to ask, and I just like to ask you, do you have anything? Get away from me! Ah! And I'm going, okay. So I realized it's me. It's me, not somebody behind me. So I'm going, So I go back and there's a few other people. I pray for them. Gary finishes. And so Gary finishes. I go over to him and I said, hey, those two ladies over there probably need some more prayer. I figured I shouldn't be the only one to share in the goodness. So Gary goes over. He gets within about 3 or 4 feet. They start screaming and shrieking. And Gary is saying, come out of them in the name of Jesus. And so after about 60 seconds of it, I go over to Gary and I said, hey, you know, we have to leave. I said, let me talk to you. We have to leave here and we're going to leave them by themselves. And he said, oh, yeah. So he stopped. And so anyway, so about that time, he went back and he says, is there anybody else that needs prayer? The doors, they had double doors, the doors bolted open and a bunch of people came off the street and were running in for prayer. And all of a sudden, a group of people came in with a hospital gurney. And it had a boy on it that was about 11 years old. And he was in a cast from his neck all the way down to his ankles and all the way down his arms. He was in a plaster cast, stiff as a board. Wanda, he had gotten run over by a school bus. And I guess it was before they had what's the deal, Wanda? The little arm say, get back over this way, children, so we can see you. It run over him with the school bus, and he was in a body cast. And, you know, and so, we're just as much shocked as everything else. The presence of God was so strong in there, and, man, it was freedom, and you could feel the presence of God, and people were getting healed. And so they wheeled that boy up there, and we went back there, and Colette was up with us then. And by the time I got back there, and I, you know, my first thought was this. Because, you know, even though my first thought was, how does this boy use the bathroom? I was like, come on, you guys are so spiritual. I was like, they put that boy in a body cast. Has this thing got a back door? I didn't know. So some of y'all needed to laugh, but we put our hands on the cast and began to pray, and that boy started screaming, I'm healed! I'm healed! I'm healed! I'm healed! And the people kept running in from the street. We had to cut it off. And so we went out to lunch. So it was like at a Golden Corral or something. Anyway, Gary and I were sitting with the pastor, and we're just talking to her. She's talking about the concerns and everything, and she was like, wow, service was just awesome. Colette was sitting at the table with the two ladies, the lady that played the piano, her granddaughter. So Colette is there listening to them talk. And the lady says, my granddaughter is special. She says, she sees and hears things. She was moving, like if she poured a glass of milk, she can move it from the counter over to the table without touching it. They were hearing voices in the house. They were taking pictures of things they were seeing, but when you look at the photographs, there was nothing on it. Her granddaughter had gotten kicked out of one daycare center because she picked a boy up and slammed him into the wall across the room by just moving her hand. These people were in the church during that service. They were frozen stiff. And she said, my granddaughter's special. About that time, they're still talking, and the Lord closed Colette's ears, like hemmed her in like this. And she heard the Holy Spirit said, they're witches. She said, what? She said, they're witches. Anyway, to make a short story short, because we got to go on. We're leaving there, and so Gary and I, not knowing what's going on, we're riding back, and Colette and Gary says, wow, that was awesome. I don't know what was going on, but God was awesome. Colette says, they're witches. And, you know, Gary is with Colette. He says, now, Colette. He said, they're witches. They're talking about moving stuff around like poltergeists and stuff like that. She said, you know what I learned from this? This is what I'm getting to. Supernatural people. That lady was terrified of us. You have no clue what's inside of you. If you did, it wouldn't be church as usual on Sundays. If you did, we wouldn't be inconspicuously absent and inconspicuously silent. Moving right along. So this is God's opinion. In Genesis, the first chapter, the 26th verse, he says, let us make man in our image. Let's let him look like us. Let's let him talk like us, operate like us, create like us, think like us. Let's do that. That's a good idea, isn't it? So they created man. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, the 9th verse, this is the way God said it to Peter. He was talking to the Christians. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's you. That's me. A chosen generation. Generation means something that's being created, brought into being, continually being created. Chosen. In other words, handpicked. This generation is handpicked. A royal priesthood. That means you have kingly authority, but you have duties to do, perform. To God. Holy people set apart for God's use. Check this one out. A peculiar people. That means you are different than everybody else. So stop trying to be like everybody else. The people that were, the stones that were on the other side of the Jordan were different than the stones that went in. That's nothing but baptism. A peculiar people. You're a supernatural people. A supernatural people. Okay. I work at Volvo in the engineering department. I had a guy that I used to work next to named Dave. Okay. And, we would talk about God every once in a while. He wasn't a Christian. But Dave had played football and done so many, strongman contests and, a bunch of stuff. He'd hurt his back several times, and he'd hurt his back so bad that he couldn't walk, and he took doctor, they did the MRI, and the doctor said he had a hole in there. It was almost broken through. So he'd been out of work for a while. This particular Friday, I come to work, and he's been out of work for a while, and I'm going to my desk, and I see him in the hall, and I said, hey, what, how you doing? I'm going to check in the hospital today and tomorrow, and they're going to do surgery this afternoon. Okay, but before you go, I want to pray for you. Okay, well, when I get stuff straight back in my office, then you come on back. I'll call you. You come on back, and I'm praying. You can pray for me. So he calls me, and I go back to the office. Well, he has an office adjacent to another guy, and this other guy has three guys in there with him, and they're talking. So I'm like, So I said, well, come on, I'm going to pray for you. So I began praying in English. And so all of a sudden I said, hey, I started praying in tongues. I got my hand on his back. He's holding on to the desk. Now, Dave is like 240 pounds, 250 pounds. He's like 6'6". He's a big guy. And I'm got my hand on his back and I'm praying. I feel the presence of God. Dave is there and he's holding on with his eyes closed and he's shaking a little bit. And the guy, one of the guys comes out of the room, like I guess he hears me, and he comes out of the room like, what in the world is going on? He comes over there, he sees, ooh, he's praying. So he goes back in the room. Okay, so I pray for Dave. Anyway, he goes to the hospital and to the doctor's office or whatever. I go back, I go to my desk. And so meantime, Monday comes around, and Dave comes, he's sitting at his desk. And I'm going, what are you doing? What happened? He said, well, he said, when I went to the doctor, he said, the doctor said, hey, let's take some, you know, more x-rays and stuff like that. And he came back in, and then he came back in with another doctor and some nurses. And he came back in with some more doctors and stuff. And they got all of these x-rays up there. He says, what? And his wife is like, what's going on? What's going on? And the doctor says, well, here's his x-rays before, several weeks ago, and here's his x-rays now. He says, there's no hole. And so Dave says, that's the doctor's version. And so his wife says, well, what's going on? What's going on? And so Dave doesn't say anything to his wife. So this is Dave's version to me. He said, so I call you back there and you're praying in English. When you start speaking in tongues, he says, I'm holding on to the desk. He says, I see fire coming out of your hand. I'm going, say what? He says, I see fire coming out of your hand, and I'm holding on to the desk, and I'm saying in myself, please stop before I fall on the ground, before these guys see me slaying a 6'6", 200. You know, he says, so he's barely holding on to the desk, and so I see nothing. You have no clue what's inside of you. You want to be ordinary people. You want to be ordinary religious people and come in here and be nice and the whole deal and, you know, be raised on the last day. And that will happen, but you won't affect this community. I know that's tough. So anyway, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. 1 Peter, first chapter, verse 18 and 19. And this is what it says. Paraphrase. Peter is talking to the Christians, and he's saying, talking to them about what God has done for them. And he says in those two verses, he says, you know, for as much as you know that you have not been redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Let me put it to you in ordinary terms. You know darn well you did not get saved with silver and gold. Corruptible things that could corrode, that could rust, or that can be used to do something evil with. But you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, from the old, vain, empty manner of life handed down to you by your forefathers through the tradition of men in, that's what it says in the Amplified, through the tradition of men. Check this out. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You know what? Say with me. It's not in there, the Bible. Let's try it again. Okay? I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. A saint is just a sinner who falls down but gets up. That's weak. A saint is just a sinner who falls down but who gets up.
Mm-hmm.
How about this one? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Nowhere to be found in there. You know, you never know what God's going to do. It's not in there. In John the 16th chapter, in John 16, it says, hey, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to tell you all things that you need to know and tell you things that will come. And not only that, it says over at 1 Corinthians, it says this. It says, you know, we hear this. I have not seen or ear heard the things that God has planned. That means the natural people. But it goes on to the next few verses and says, but it's not so with you. You have the mind of Christ, the mind of God. You have access to the wisdom. You have access to the knowledge of God. That's what it says. How about this one? Well, when people are hurting, you know, God needed another angel. How about this one? God needed him more than we did.
It's not in there.
It's not. You know what? God made me sick to teach me something.
It's not in there.
Now I'm going to give you two that's in there, because I was going to play a trick on you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. My God, you hear it in half the Christian songs. It is in there. It's in Psalms 30. But this is what it says. It says, you know, what you're going through and weeping. This is Jesus. They have tapped into, while they were singing this song, Jesus on the cross. Or when Jesus was going down to hell. Read it. And it says, for a short time, I experience weeping. But joy and life and blessing is forever. That's why it reads. How about this one? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I'll go back to my mother's womb. I'm not finished. God giveth and God taketh away, bless his holy name. That's in there. You know who said it? Job said it after he had lost his children, his sheep, everything he had except for his wife. And she said, just curse God and die. He said it. And then wait. And then 38, he said it because the devil attacked him. But God said, don't take his life. But just, you know. And so 38 chapters later, Job says this. I spoke things that weren't right. I spoke things that I did not know of. But we use that saying all the time. God giveth and God taketh away. Bless his holy name. You know, that's just like saying, the devil had me on the run today, bless his holy name, but I escaped. Oh. Okay, I had to go there to make sure. Woo! Okay, Romans, the 8th chapter. The 18th verse. In particular, but I'm going to give you a little background. The 8th chapter talks about there's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the but not after the flesh. So he says, if you walk after the Spirit, you know what that means? If you listen to the Holy Ghost, if you do what he says, what he shows you to do, even though you might not want to, Guess what? There's no condemnation. In other words, you make yourself available to God. He doesn't criticize. There's no criticism. There's no fault. There's no darkness. But God, you make yourself available when you walk in the Spirit. That's basically what it says. And watch this. Over in verse 18, it says something like this. It goes on and it says, it's talking about the glorious liberty. What's the glorious liberty? Walking in the Spirit. And so then he goes on and he says, all of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be manifest. The earth, the moon, the stars, the trees, the animals are all waiting for the sons of God to walk in the Spirit, to be manifest. That's what they're waiting for. Yearning, longing for the sons of God to be manifest. But if they're not, we have a dilemma. You know what the dilemma is? We got a problem. In a day where the institutions of marriage between a man and a woman and honoring the flag and respecting the flag are under attack, where are the sons of God? In a day when lawlessness and rebellion and riots seem like a good thing, in order, as long as it gets what you want to happen, where are the sons of God? When men burn in their desires for other men and women for other women, and now medically they can change their bodies and nobody says anything, where are the sons of God? When political correctness and cries for social justice stir men's hot hearts more than the gospel of Jesus Christ, where are the sons of God? When abortion is at an all-time high, and now they're selling baby parts for millions of dollars, is business as usual? Where are the sons of God? When silence is the norm, and apologizing for speaking the truth, and nobody does, and doing nothing is a way of life, where are the sons of God? A politician and philosopher named Edmund Burke, he was Irish, but he served in the British Parliament. He was an author, and he was a philosopher, and he was a politician. He said, all is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. But God has shared his secret with you. He says this in Colossians, the first chapter, let's go to 27th verse. It says this, but to you, God has decided to make known to you the glorious riches of a mystery. And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, whether you see the glory is if you use your faith. The glory depends on what you believe. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where are the sons of God? We're supernatural people, serving a supernatural God, worshiping a supernatural God, doing supernatural things that God shows us supernaturally. Why are we praying? So that the manifold wisdom of God can be manifested to our co-workers, to the people, to angelic beings. Now, if you think that, how long have I gone? Have I gone too long? If you think that this is the only time this happened in history, no, it's happened before. When America was founded, they went almost 75 years, 100 years before the same problems cropped up. It was so few people going to church that hundreds of pastors just quit. They hadn't seen parishioners for a long time. Church attendance had fallen off. That sounds familiar. Lethargy. So you had Lions of the Last Day to show up because they began to listen to God. Jonathan Edwards. John and Charles Wesley. They used to call them firebrands. George Whitefield. Did they have all of the knowledge that we have? All of the revelation that we have? No. But they had God as a resource. You know what? We have had 50 years of teaching on prayer. Every nuance, every minutia. And you know what? They did not. But they had mighty moves of God, because prayer is not taught, it's caught. So what happened? They had thousands to come to the Lord. Oh, and it went on for another 50 or 75 years ago, 50 or 75 years more, and the same thing happened. The same thing happened. They had, on college campuses like Princeton, evangelical colleges, it would be like Liberty University, they began to burn Bibles. They had the filthy speech movement. That was just the women. Christians were persecuted. Churches were abandoned. Nobody came to church. Nobody cared. Until people started to pray. And listen, they prayed all the knowledge they had, and then they started to pray the revelation that the Holy Ghost gave them. Let me ask you guys to do one thing for me. Could you stand up for a minute? Okay. Could you turn around to face the back there? And you're not looking at the back though, but look down. Look down. You know where the sons of God are? The sons of God are the people that were sitting in that seat that you were sitting in. That's the sons of God. That's the supernatural people that were sitting in that seat. That's you. Okay, you guys can sit down. Why do we pray? We pray so the climate can change. We pray until the winds of revival start to blow. We pray. We don't come in and pray for an hour or pray for a half hour or pray, you know. We pray until the climate changes. We pray until you see results. We pray until drug addiction is broken. We pray until marriages are restored. We pray until cancer disappears. That's why we pray. We pray until we get righteous politicians that want to serve the people. We pray. We pray so that God can be glorified. That's why we pray. That's the reason that we pray. They began to pray. I mean, you look out here along 81, all of those campgrounds. That's why they had those camp meetings. The revivals were, you know, you don't get a revival just because you have a meeting. You get a revival because that's what God's doing. Because you begin to pray. Up in Cane Ridge, up here in Muddy River, in Kentucky, right past here, they had 10,000 people show up on a Sunday morning when the church only held 50 people. Because they began to pray. That's a, man, what a great problem to have. Where are the sons of God? Supernatural people. So we're going to move on. I'm going to close here. I'm going to tell you what you're going to see. here after the turn of the year. Wouldn't you like to know that? You're going to see the last day lions. They're going to come first. They're going to be bold. They're not going to be afraid of what the newspapers are going to say. They're not going to be afraid of what they can't be silenced by political correctness. They're going to tell the truth and not apologize. A lot of them are going to be young people. You know why? You know why? The older you get, the more you want to sit down and just listen or go to sleep. Young people say they want to move. They want action. I'm bored. Well, they're not going to sit down and listen to words for 50 years. They're going to do something. That's just youth. So a lot of them, you know, they're going to need wisdom. But you know what? If they're crying out for the wisdom of God, God will give it liberally. Next thing, there's going to be a different dimension. A different dimension. Because you're going to walk in the Spirit. And, maybe that might sound a little creepy, but it's not. I'm just saying you're going to start to act. The church is going to start to act like people walking by the Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. That's the difference. Led by the Spirit of God. I'll tell you another story here just before we go on. So my friend Dave, he is on fire. And he calls me, he says, I got a guy that I know, and he's in a wheelchair. His daughter's getting married. Would you come and pray for them? For him. I'm going, okay. So I meet him, and we go over the man's house, and he's in a wheelchair, and one of his daughters is there, and this is the date his daughter is getting married, his other daughter. So his other daughter and his wife and some other people are at the church doing some stuff, and I'm there with him and Dave, his other daughter and a cousin or something like that, and I walk in, and so we begin to pray for the gentleman. And you know, there's no faith there, and I can feel the presence of God, but there's no faith. So we prayed, blessed him, and he says, well, let's go out to eat. So we go to McDonald's. We go to McDonald's, and as we're eating, Dave says to me, wow, I just knew he might walk. I said, I don't know. I said, I didn't sense any faith there. And he says, okay, well, tell me this. Who was the guy that was standing behind you? And I said, what are you talking about? He says, the guy that was standing behind you with his arms folded, the guy that had all of the light all over him. He says, you couldn't look at his face, but he's had this fire all over him and stuff. Who was that? And I go, he said, who was the guy standing in the corner behind you? I said, what was he doing? He said, he was just standing there just like he was waiting for something. And he said, who was he? I go, Reggie, who was he? What he described was what Jesus looked like, what angels looked like. I didn't see anything. He says, well, you know, I'm new at this. Great. I'm new at this, so I don't know what to expect. So, we can just have church as usual. Or you can turn this valley upside down. Okay, so, new dimension or shift. Unspeakable joy and a sense of God's presence, like an unusual sense of God. Like, you ever sense God's presence? that's just so strong. I mean, can you imagine the whole city having that? Unbelievers, believers, healings. That's what you're going to see. What you see today is not what you're going to see here in this, I believe right after the beginning of the year, what I'm seeing. Pastor Todd, could you come read Psalms 126?
When the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dream. It seemed so unreal. Then were our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes, O Lord, as the streams in the south are restored by the torrents. They who sow in tears shall reap in joy and singing. He who goes forth bearing seed and weeping at needing his precious supply of grain for sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." All the earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.